Thank you, ladies. That was great. We're real thankful and excited to have Jim Kendall as our guest missionary today and for this evening service also. Jim grew up in Blairsville, and his wife is from Scottsdale. And God put a lot of things into his life and got him ready to go to Indonesia to tell people about the Lord. And really, the last number of years in his ministry, you know, from the time he received Christ up to this point, really is in a providential preparation time for him to speak to us right now. So God will change our heart toward the people in Indonesia and help us see we're a part of the Lord's team to spread the good word there. So please give your heart's attention to the Lord as he speaks through Jim Kendall. God bless, Jim.
Go ahead, I'm following you. Oh, I'll follow you too. I thought you were going to go out in the back. First service went out the back. Second service out the front. Okay. Thank you so much for this invitation to go ahead and to be with you today. It's really special. I also enjoy looking out there and just seeing the pretty scenery. I love snow, but I also know behind this snow isn't too much further when all those blossoms start to go ahead and to come on out. It's just great to go ahead and to be alive. And a great world that God has created and that he has created each one of us special in his sight. And I just thank you for the opportunity of being a part of your life here this morning. I also want to say thank you for your contribution to the Great Commission Fund, because it's your giving on that faith pledge that lets Sharon and myself be some of those people that are out there. And I know you're just not giving, but also praying. And that's one of the nice things about being here. And I'm thankful that as I'm reconnecting, that I know that you're also praying for Jim and Sharon also, because it's by prayer that we're able to bear fruit and be effective where we're at. And that is just so special. Thank you so very much. And I found out also your pastor, he's a guy to be careful about. He's the one who put the little girls up to asking the question today about my first date. So I'm being a little bit more cautious here. I hadn't told him about that. He probably got that when I was at Union City. I don't know where you got that at, but anyway, tricky guy here. Okay. The first service, they said they're going to light up the world, you know, when they're lighting the candles here. I'm glad they didn't. Where in the world is Indonesia? Where is Indonesia? Right there. Right above Australia. Give it back here, mate. Right above Australia. Right below the Philippines. 17,000 islands. One book calls it, one encyclopedia, there's 23,000 islands. I'd say, well, the difference between high tide and low tide. But there are 17,000 islands officially out there. My father-in-law said, this is where we are here, and this is where we are. And he said, Jim, if you go any further, any direction, you're going to get closer home. We're just about that half. In fact, right now it is 11:25 here. It's 11:25 in Indonesia. Now, next week it's going to be a little bit different. Is it next week when the time changes? Okay, don't forget to move your clocks. If you move the clocks, do they come earlier or do they come later this time? So do you get earlier to church or do you come late?
Late.
Okay, I remember one time one person came. They came early. They went back home, went back to bed, and came. Still, they came late. Okay. Anyway, it's 11:25 in Indonesia, Sunday night. So our son, who's in Jakarta right now, being him, he's probably still awake at this point here, but he's working his way towards bed. Indonesia is the fourth most populous country in the world. What are my other bigger countries in the world? China at 1.3 billion people. India at 1.2 billion people. Now, Russia used to, but then they dissolved. United States at 300 million. So the big jump between India and the United States. 1.2 billion and the United States at 300 million. And then comes Indonesia at 250 million people. So Indonesia and the United States are very similar in our population. In fact, if you take the map of the United States and put it over Indonesia, east to west coast is the same for Indonesia as well, except there's a lot more water in Indonesia than what we have here in the States. Half of the people of Indonesia live on the island of Java. Now, I want to go ahead and just give you a feeling here. Love picking on you. Okay, can I have you three stand up for me? In Pennsylvania, 300 people every square mile. Now, living closer to Pittsburgh, an urban area, we're probably a little bit more on the upper side, but this is where we feel comfortable. Now, on the island of Java, where we live, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, go ahead and stand up, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Both of you at the end there. 2,400 people. We're comfortable and a little bit crowded over here. Here is where Sharon and I live, among 2,400 people every square mile. You can go be seated. Now, yeah, you can be seated too. In Pennsylvania, I'm driving. There's a lot of empty places out there. You know, in Java, there's a lot of empty places out there as well. There's nothing but mountains and rice fields and just trees. But there's just a lot of people there as well. The other way around is invite half the United States to go ahead and move to Pennsylvania. So, you know, just a feel on that one. Now, I want to give you another feeling. I need six people here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can you stand up for me? In the United States and in Pennsylvania, six people out of every 10 would call themselves a Christian. Now, you may only come to church on Easter and Christmas, but you call yourself a Christian. 6 out of 10 would call themselves a Christian. On the fourth most populous country in the world, you stand and everybody else sit down. 1 out of every 10 would call themselves a Christian. But in the island of Java, where more than half of the population of Java lives on that one island, it's less than 0.5%. So I'm going to have to ask you to go ahead and sit down. So in Sunday school, as we were talking about living among Muslims, there are a lot of Muslims that we, Sharon and I, live among. But there are also 10% out of 250 million. There's a fair amount of Christians that are there. I just wanted to go ahead and to give you some of the feelings of what it is to go ahead and to be living in Indonesia. Many of you are familiar with the Christian Mission Alliance. I'm glad to go ahead and be a Christian Mission Alliance. I didn't start that way, but I'm finishing that way. There are 880 missionaries around the world that we support through our giving. The CMA is in 91 countries around the world. Of those 91 countries, 37 of those are missionary sending churches. Our daughter, she was up at a conference in Grove City. Nobody knew her around there. But someone came a ding, ding, ding on the back of her shoulder and said, "You're a Kendall." I wonder how they figured that out. There's some resemblance between in families. And so with the Christian Mission Alliance, there is resemblance. And I'm also glad to say Indonesia is one of those 37 missionary sending countries. That there are missionaries from Indonesia serving in Suriname, which is the northern part of Latin America. And there's also missionaries living in Hong Kong. And it's great to be a part of that family right there. There's a prayer card in the back as you go. They're there for you to pick up. And I pray also, I'm expecting God to be speaking afresh to each and every one of us during this missions conference. And I'm expecting God to go ahead and be saying something new. I like missions conference. I mentioned yesterday missions conference and like going to camp. These are special times in our church where commitment is focused on. I know Pastor Bob is asking in terms of expecting here, but these special conferences are very special as well. And I'm expecting God to be speaking to you today. Perhaps He's going to call you and ding, 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 ding you on the back and say, I want you to go ahead and to go into full-time service. Or I want you to go ahead and help out in Sunday school. Or I want you to go ahead and to be a hostess for like a Bible study in your area. He has a place for each and every one of us. And as you hear God speaking to you today, take that prayer card and write on the back of it, I heard God speaking this to me today. And put that in your Bible. And maybe next month, maybe next week, how am I doing in terms of what God spoke with me? Also at the back, you're going to see a list there. If you want to be a part of our prayer letter list, please sign your name. Write clearly your email address. Sometimes our email addresses are weird. And so, you know, write clearly what your email address is. We usually send out a letter the middle of every month. And it's one page. And if you later on you're getting too many emails, you want to unsubscribe, there's a place, click, and you can unsubscribe from our list there as well. But please also write back to us. We don't want to be just sending out letters. We want to know how you're doing in your church here. We want this to be a two-way conversation. Today I want to be talking to us two different foci. One is I want to talk about giving. Okay. In terms of how we give. But I also want to talk to us about families. Because our movies, our televisions, our music, our society is tearing down families and family values. And I want to be talking to us about that today. I'm wearing a shirt that is about Alliance Marriage Encounter. I was on the turnpike way back when I was going to Edinburgh camp, and we were, I was going to Mars to attend our marriage encounter. And that was another story you're going to have to tell on that one too, driving through the express lane and not paying for it, not having express easy pass there too. Okay. I did find out one thing. Keep your ticket, and when you get that little bill in the mail, you just put that ticket in the envelope and write a check for the amount you should have paid. That's all you have to pay. That's the law. I called the turnpike and found that out. Anyway, I'm going to the turnpike, and Sharon and I are both wearing these shirts, and the lady who took my payment, I went through and paid that time, she says, I had a grandmother called Alma too. Well, I don't have a grandmother named Alma. Alma is Spanish for soul. And Marriage Encounter Ministries for the Christian Mission Alliance started in Chile, started in Latin America. And that word soul is so the very center of who we are. And so Alma is what we also break it down as Alliance Marriage. And then you have to put the encounter at the very end over there. So no, this is not for my grandmother Alma, which I don't have. And this is not for Valentine's Day, which is already passed, but this is a shirt that we wear in Indonesia to celebrate our being a part of that team. And I want to talk to us about that. But I also want to be talking to us, and I was talking in Sunday school, the lostness of man. There are a lot of good people out there, and they do a lot of good things. But outside of Jesus Christ, it doesn't make any difference if you are a Muslim or whatever outside of Jesus Christ. You are lost. And I want to be talking also about lostness. I want to tell you about a story I flipped my page too fast here. Alberto and Sophie. Alberto is a very intelligent man. He has several doctor's degrees. He teaches in who works at CMU here anyway? He teaches at the highest university in Indonesia. There's probably a few more other than CMU here that are higher than that one, but he teaches at a very prestigious. He is called by the government often to go to Japan or to go to Malaysia to be on the trade conference there to be talking about finances. He's a very important financial man. He's also the treasurer of our international church in Bandung. He's been having some issues in his family. His mother, and he's about in his upper 40s, lower 50s. His mother is still a primary person in telling them what to do. being Chinese, that happens. And he would like to go ahead and come to a marriage encounter ministry, but he's just so busy, he can't get there. There are a lot of reasons why people cannot get to a marriage encounter ministry. Reed One and Anna work with us in the publishing office. Reed One has been passed over a couple of times for promotion. Anna, because of her job no longer being there, was let go. There's some bitterness that's happened in the family. They also don't have any children. That's been a very difficult time for them. They have now, they're about in their middle 50s, so they're not going to be having children now. And we had asked for them to also come to a marriage encounter, because marriage encounter helps people to be talking between yourself. When you go to a marriage encounter, you're not spilling your guts out in front of all the other people. Each one of us who are married have issues. Each one of us have problems. Sharon and myself have them too. We come to a marriage encounter, it's more like, do you wait to take your car to the garage to get the oil change when you start to hear the clanging of your engine or the oil light come on your dashboard? No. You take it after so many thousand miles, you take it in and get the oil change whether it needs it or not. It's going to be good for your car. The same way with marriage encounter. These are times of reflection for you as a couple. You sit down and then you talk about it as a couple in the privacy of your room, some issues that have been in your life. It's important to go ahead and to be building that relationship. I shared in the earlier service for us that part of that was in when I was in grad school at Wheaton going for my master's in communications. The year I communicated the worst with my wife was when I was taking communications. And it came down to Christmas time. And she said, honey, why don't you just go ahead? Well, you can move into a dorm. You can eat in the cafeteria. I'm going to stay with the kids, with my parents in Scottsdale. And I talked to her. I said, honey, please come back. We got back in January, and our next-door neighbor, who didn't know about our issues, said, hey, there's a marriage encounter happening from our church. Would you be interested in going? We went. And it turned our life around. It started with a date night again. We started dating each once a week at least. And we would sit down and we would be talking. It was a time to turn around. Each one of us has needs. We need to be talking together as a couple on that. Marno and Etty. Etty, her father was a Muslim priest. Etty, growing up, wanted to marry a Christian. You know why? She wanted to be the only wife. Talks about her family of living in a home where there's several wives. She wanted to be the only wife. And so when Marno came around and she found out that he was a Christian, they got along, they got married. And then she found out. Marno was one of those Christians that went to church on Christmas or Easter. And that was a big disappointment for Etty. When the kids came around, there was a little, it was a starting of a church, but they had Sunday school there. And she took her kids over and she stayed outside. And then a little bit later, she came in the back row. And then she became a teacher's helper. And then the teacher led her to Christ. 20 years later, marriage encounter comes. And her pastor encourages her to go to marriage encounter. But she said, honey, when you go, don't tell Marno about all the things he's been doing bad. When you go, tell him the areas that you respect him in and the things that he is doing good in. At the end of the weekend, something happened. Marno woke her up at 2 o'clock in the morning. How would you like to be woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning by your husband? But for this reason, Marno said, honey, let's start praying together. And that was the joy of her heart, to see him coming to Christ. And so for them, they went back home as both of them being people who went to church and had Jesus in the center of their marriage and of their life. In Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, we read, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." We live in a broken world. We are broken people. This passage was read by Jesus in his inaugural message in Nazareth. One of those starting of his ministry ones. This is our message as well. To bring Jesus, who placed his hands on the leper, the untouchable, and brought wholeness back to that person. Who brought back healing to the eyes of a man who was born blind. He's here to also bring healing in our marriages, in our relationships as well. For those who get our prayer letters, we had a really tough one happen to us just before we were coming home last year. We came home in June. We had our marriage encounter weekend in early June, and we were coming home in end of June. How many people move a lot? We were at that point getting ready to pack all of our stuff. This was now in March, but we were already thinking we had to pack up everything in our house, put it in storage. We don't know where we'll go back, you know, what house we'll be living in. It's a rented house. We had our team. Most of the team before had been speaking from Thailand, so they speak in Thai, and they have different issues in Thailand. They're close, but they're not the same as Indonesian. We've been developing an all-Indonesia team. Johannes and Nining were a part of those being prepared to be a presenting couple. They came to one of our weekends, and they invited us to come and speak. We went to their room, and he was saying, and I don't know why we were there. Everything was kind of good, but what Johannes was saying to us. And then when one person's talking, I get suspicious. And so then I asked the other person, "How are you doing?" Then the other part of the story came out, that they were having financial issues. Johannes was a big dreamer. One of his deals, I can't imagine this, one of his deals, he was selling coal, a shipload of coal, to Japan. He got the buyer. He contracted the cargo ship. He had the coal in Kalimantan. Except when the cargo ship got there, the coal didn't make it out. And all the investors, he didn't have any money, all the investors that had put in to put this deal together, to buy all that coal and to reserve the ship, it all disappeared. And so all the investors, they're getting hold of Johannes, but Johannes changes his phone number again. Nining, they find her and they come and they just pester her. That we found out that in 20 years of marriage for her, they had 17 failures like that, big failures. And in March, we were in a final stage. We'd seen where since the weekend, he had been arrested for fraud. He was put in jail. But we could see that he looked like he was coming back out. That we could use his story. And then in March, he sold 3 tons of dressed chickens to a person who was going to be wholesaling them out. But the wholesaler never paid him, and the person who sold the chickens was out all those chickens. And we told Johannes, "I'm sorry. We cannot use you to tell your story. We don't tell stories that are not true. If you're having problems, you can't be a person telling stories. We tell things in marriage encounter that I am embarrassed if you would go ahead and just hear about it here. But we're willing to tell things that have happened in our marriage that make a difference to us, that will make a difference for you. And for Johannes and Inning, he just can't go up and tell a good story that's not true. And so then Sharon and I, in March, baby being born, grandchild being born in April, Sharon came home for that. In March, we had to say no to this couple. And then Sharon and I then had to fill their place. And we wondered, has it been worth it all? You know, that was one of the most discouraging times in our career to go ahead and to see this all fall through for us. But you know, as we came through the weekend, in the earlier service, I shared about Manopo and Mary. He had stood up and had his hand around his wife and told her that he was having an affair, or he had had an affair. It was now past. And he was also sharing his story. He was there. And after the end of our weekend, we saw couple after couple that God had touched their lives. And we could say, yes, it's been tough, but yes, it has been worth it all. Satan wants to destroy families. I don't know what your history is. Some of you have been married in a church. Some maybe not in a church. Some are married. Maybe some of us are married and divorced. Maybe some of us have been remarried again. We're broken people. Regardless of our history, Jesus Christ wants to be the cornerstone of your marriage. You're not second class with Him. He wants to be the center of your marriage. I look around here too. I see singles. I want to say this also. He loves you singles just as much as He loves couples here. He wants to be the cornerstone of each of our lives. And I do not want to exclude singles here today. But I do want to pray for each of you in a minute. I love the song the girl sang, God Loves People. Great song. He loves us. I want to talk to us about this that's in your bulletin. Uh-oh. Here comes the talk about money. You may think, well, okay, I give $100. Jim's been pretty dynamic. I think I want to increase my giving this year. So instead of giving $100 to church, I'll give $80 and then I'll add to my Great Commission Fund $20 over there. That's not how it works. Sharon and I were missionary in residence for Western PA in 2001-2002, and we were leading mission clinics all over Western PA, and part of the thing was looking at what a healthy church is. A healthy church, the people in the church give 10 to 15% of your earnings, of your income, as part of your tithes and offerings to the church. Some people give more, but a healthy church, at least 10 to 15%. When you're sick, when you have someone you want to pray and talk about, where do you go? You come to the church. It may not always be to the pastor. Maybe somebody else. Your tithes and offerings, folks, comes to the church. Don't short God on that. So if $100 is what your 10 to 15% is, $100 is what needs to come to God. Great Commission Fund giving. A healthy church is a church where the people in it, doesn't make any difference what denomination, where 2 to 3% of your earnings you are giving outside of your tithes and offerings to reach the world. Take that as a measure in terms of there. But add a flavor of faith in there. Carol is a member of a Greensburg church, and I was talking with Carol when the weather was a little bit warmer. And we were still picking up furniture to furnish our house, our apartment. And she told me this story. She said, I quit my job about 5 years ago as a secretary. And I wanted to move from secretary to be a caregiver for hospice people. And I'd made a pledge. My pledge was due the end of the year. And I didn't have the money. Well, there was a radio program on. And guess what? The amount was just that amount. And she says, maybe that's how God was working. So she sent in whatever she did, but she never got called. Her working companion said, you made a mistake, Carol. You should have quit January 15th. If you'd have quit January 15th, all the benefits for that coming year, you could have applied for like your sick leave or whatever, and you'd have gotten extra on your severance that you would have gotten. But Carol said, no, I quit the end of the year. At the end of the year, the boss called her in and said, Carol, you've been a great person to work with. Here's your severance packet, and I want to add to that packet this amount. And guess what that amount was? You got it. Just the exact amount that she had promised in her faith commitment. Let's be people who believe and trust God. As He cared for the Israelites in all those years in the desert, He cares for us. And He wants us to be depending on Him just as much as they are. And so, let us be giving in that same kind of way. Let me pray with us. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Father, for the families that are here. I thank You, Father, for the godly family that I had and that my mom and dad taught me in terms of loving God. And though I made mistakes, that You were there to catch me and to teach me and to call me up short sometimes. And Father, for the families, for the couples, I pray for Your blessing and Your help, because it's a tough time in our world today, because our culture is tearing us down. The laws that we're passing are becoming more and more open to other kinds of relationships. So, Father, I thank You for Your living in my life, whether I'm single or as a couple here today. And Father, my spouse may be a person who's not here today, but I want to be that spouse for him or her, that they may see Christ through me, that we may be one together as Marno and Etty became one in You. That is my cry to You, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for Your blessing and Your peace upon us as a church, to be growing in You and growing in love with each other. And I thank You in Jesus' name.